Today we begin a nine-week series, which every Thursday we will focus on one of the fruits of the Spirit that St. Paul mentions in his letter to the Galatians. And today our focus is on the fruit of the Spirit of love, taken from Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, two Christian college students, two young women, decided they were going to go on a special organization by their church, a Christian mission organization, to go into Afghanistan. It was a mission to go and help with some humanitarian needs and work with children. Part of their hope as well was to possibly bring the gospel into this country that was so thoroughly opposed to the gospel, it would seem. Apparently, while they were there staying with a host family, one of them was reading a devotional book. And someone in the family got interested in this and wanted to learn more about this little picture book that she had with pictures of Christ and so on. And the report made it back to members of the Taliban, and these two young missionary girls were suddenly taken into captivity. At one point, were held inside of a large shipping crate, the type that comes over on cargo ships, for a number of days. And it wasn't until our soldiers, as they went into Afghanistan, it wasn't until they were able to come to rescue them that they were finally released and freed. It was interesting at the press conference with these two young Christian women, as they talk now about their ordeal, the love that they expressed, not only for the people of Afghanistan in general, and not only for the family they'd been staying with, but even for the ones that had gotten them in trouble, and even for the ones that had mistreated them and held them in captivity and so on. And it was so striking, the difference between Christianity and the radical Islamic faith. And the love that they had for their Savior and for their fellow man was so evidenced there. God would have us recognize the great significance that this simple virtue has to him, this wonderful virtue of love. It's called the first of the fruits of the Spirit by St. Paul. And he lists it as number one. Everything else in the list flows from love and is ultimately connected back to it, an agape love. Thomas A. Kempis wrote this about love. God weighs more the love out of which a man works than the actual work which he does. And how true that is. We look at the outward things, but the Lord is always looking at the heart, which is where love is to be found and where it dwells. Those who, like you and I, have been blessed to have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God, who've been brought to a knowledge of our Savior, who came not just for the Jews, but for us Gentiles, the one who has paid for all of our sins to give us the hope of heaven, you and I have benefited from the greatest act of love in history. And it is God's pure love coming to us through Christ and through his means of grace that has claimed us and made us part of his kingdom. And so now God looks at you and me, and the highest mark, the highest quality that he looks for, that indicates that we're part of his kingdom, is this precious virtue of love. It's a natural byproduct of those who belong to Christ. Listen to what another theologian, Johann Gerhard, said. You can just as easily rob the sun of its light as you can separate love from faith. In Solomon's temple, all things within and without were overlaid with pure gold. So in the spiritual temple of God, that's us, all things should be adorned with true love. The same life juice that runs through the vine of Christ, that saving love that has come into you and me, the branches that have been attached to him by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, that same living life juice goes through us out into the grapes of love in our day-to-day lives. And love is always going out in the world seeking to benefit other people, to build them up, and to edify them. Our Lord Jesus, when they laid him down on the ground out there on Calvary, and they put him, stretched his body out on that cross, and pulled his hands out and drove the spikes through the wrist as he was about to be propped up to make atonement for every one of our sins, even the very sins of the injustice that were going on to him, think about how easy it would have been for him to feel hatred in his heart toward the very soldiers that were driving that iron through his wrist. And yet, instead, he turns to his Father in prayer and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God would have us keep in mind that no matter what we encounter in life from another individual, no matter what type of injustice they may show us, no matter how mean they can be to us, no matter what the evil is that they may do toward us, nevertheless, this individual, as wicked and evil and unjust as they may be toward you, this individual, God has seen as important enough and valuable enough to send Christ to atone for that person's sins and to rescue them from the fires of hell. And so God would now have us take those same eyes with which he looks at the wicked world, the eyes of love that you and I have benefited from because of knowing Christ, and would have us now look at others in that same way. Paul says to the Corinthians, from now on, now that we know Christ, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. The great irony for Christians is this: when we contemplate love and what true, pure love really is, it makes us realize inside of ourselves how imperfect we are at that. I know it sure does for me. The Christian is troubled by the places where we don't show love. And we can find a few places here and there where we do too, but it's usually tainted with some pride or something. The believer is always bothered by our imperfections in the realm of love. And yet, it is that very knowledge of our imperfection in this wonderful virtue. It's that recognition of our lacking of this in ourselves that causes us to realize the great need we have for what Christ has done for us and to appreciate the great love God has for us in our day-to-day lives. And it's that very recognition and so on that is the fruit that Paul is talking about. Even the fact when believers recognize in themselves their weaknesses in this area, that's a fruit of faith. That's part of love, the love of God and the love of Christ. And so let us be thankful that God has made us his temple, calling us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. But let us now gild and enshroud that entire temple in our lives with the gold of this wonderful virtue that he's shown us in Christ. Amen. Arise now to receive the benediction of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go now in his peace. Amen.